Hello and good morning. Thanks so much for coming to our presentation. So I am Deborah Levine, and I'm the Director of Online Health Education at Planned Parenthood. And in terms of this project, I played a primary role in developing the counselor training for the intervention. And I'll be talking to you today. Hopefully I'll be able to draw a picture for you what it actually looked like in those 15 minutes, the 10 best practices, what they were, and then I'll spend a short bit of time as well talking about the ways in which we worked with the counselors to ensure that they could, time after time, implement this protocol, the best practices, with fidelity. I have no relationships to disclose. And I do just want to reiterate, I'll be alluding to the research behind the practices, but ultimately, these 10 best practices are very, very deeply embedded in the work that Dr. Jacker did with unlocking the contraception conundrum, as well as the formative research that Nicole just described. So there are 10 practices, and the very first is the trustworthiness, expertise, and accessibility. And even here, right away, a method to ensure that the counselors would remember this. We created a visual image of having that cup of tea, T-E-A, with the patient. This and the second practice are both practices that we ask counselors to use throughout the counseling, throughout the 15 minutes they had with the patient. So it wasn't a one-time thing, but something that they should constantly pay attention to and exhibit. In this case, it's these three qualities. And really, it's very clear from the research that it's these three qualities that patients most influences their decision. And it's important to make a distinction between what they are. So trustworthiness, the patient should be able to walk out and say, I trusted that that counselor was looking out for my best interest. And we do know from the research as well that sometimes patients think, oh, well, it's the method they had the most of on the shelf. I mean, we don't, you know, there's so many ways in which we don't know what their thoughts are. But if we can convey to them with fairly simple language, such as, I want to find the best method for you and your life, that kind of communication is really key. The second quality is expertise. And that's, you know, and I think particularly with our counselors who, as Nicole described, are folks that may have a medical assistant degree, they may be have a bachelor degree, but they need to be able to communicate, I've spoken with many women about this, I've helped many women find the right method. And that kind of expertise, it doesn't necessarily have to be clinical expertise, but just that I know what we're doing here and I promise I'll be a good guide for you, is really key. And then the last quality to exhibit throughout the counseling session is accessibility. And ultimately, this really conveys for the patient that they can come back at any time with questions and they can get those questions answered. As we well know, in the 15 minutes of any health interaction, many patients are overwhelmed, they don't remember their questions, they may be nervous for a variety of reasons, and they should know that they can come back to us. In particular with this one, we used a very concrete strategy to help counselors remember it. Each of them are provided with a business card, and we ask them to hand that business card over and in front of the patient write, my name's Deborah, and write their name on the card. Please contact me, myself, or a colleague will get back to you and can answer your questions at any time. And really that sense that we are here for you is quite key. Down to the writing your name on the card, writing the counselor writing their name on the card in that moment, rather than I have a stack of 500 that I wrote my name on there at the beginning of the week, is really important to be able to convey genuine accessibility to the patients. The second strategy, also used throughout the protocol, is to use active and memorable learning strategies. Any of you who have been in any situation as a student or a teacher, a trainer, et cetera, know that many, many, many fields, the research indicates that this is more effective than passive or simply listening. And unfortunately, in counseling sessions, it is often the counselor who's doing a lot of talking. So we trained the counselors to use open-ended questions, specifically gave them types of questions they could ask for planning, how will you make sure that you, this is actually used a variety of times, and I'll highlight it in three other practices. Questioner, can you tell me more about that? And repeater, so I'm understanding, am I understanding correctly that you want? It's really in making sure that we're hearing the patients, that their concerns are what are coming out, and that they have the opportunity to digest the information and process it. The three specific methods I'll talk more about, in which we really use active and memorable learning strategies, are one practice around accurate and consistent use, a second around handling side effects, and a third around avoiding gaps when switching methods, and I'll talk more about that. The third best practice, which may be even familiar, seem familiar from what Nicole described, and really for me is the crux of the, of really the anchor, maybe is a better way to say it, the anchor of this protocol, is to simplify the choice process. And this fairly straightforward chart from choosing a method of birth control was developed for this study specifically. It may be familiar because it has a lot of elements of familiar charts previously, but I do want to talk a little bit first about how we structured it and secondly about how we instructed the counselors to present it. So in terms of the way that it's structured, you'll notice that first the decision-making science Dr. Jackert really that has brought forth for contraceptive counseling is really informs this. Ultimately, anybody who has seen any kind of star rating would be able to look at this and get the gist of it. And gist is the scientific word. We want them to get the basic concept that these methods have a variety of qualities and that the two qualities which we described to them around effectiveness and convenience are conveyed through this chart. Actually, I think I'll start with describing how we describe it to the patients because that will be helpful. So we would actually put this in front of the patient, again, active and memorable learning strategies. Use your finger to lead them down the chart and say, here in group A are the methods that are the best at preventing pregnancy and the most convenient. Once you set it, once the doctor sets it, you can forget about it. The second group B are the methods that are also highly effective if used perfectly, but you have to take it every day, every week, every month, or every 3 months in order to make it effective. And then this last group C are also can prevent pregnancy but not as good and not as convenient because you have to do it every time you have sex. So that's the way that we instructed the counselors to describe it to the patients and then ask the open-ended question, what questions do you have about this chart? Because we're guiding them through seeing it, we're explaining it, they're able to get the gist of it, but the gist of it is really communicated in a variety of ways. One is that it is those two attributes, the best at preventing pregnancy and convenience. And that really came out of the formative research, that was what the patients felt were most salient for them. The stars, of course, are a clear, whether it's Yelp or Vacation Rental Spy On or whatever it is, we've got stars in our lives, and they make a lot of sense to us. and then another element here, you may note it seems very plain, there are no images, but that was a very conscious decision. In reality, most people are not familiar with what the methods look like. So they see a small T. What does that mean? Nothing. And that actually makes it more difficult to process the information if they're also trying to figure out images they've never seen before, as well as simply distracting. It's not necessary. Ultimately, they need to understand that concept of best at preventing pregnancy and most convenient, down to least. The other piece of the structure that I want to point out is that some might view the top-down bias as somewhat leading, but again, if this was in response to what patients had said in the formative research, that the methods that are most effective at preventing pregnancy are the most convenient because there's no human error. So that was lined up and we were able to present it that way. The fourth practice is to address lifestyle issues. So we developed the POISE acronym to help make the practice memorable, again, for the counselors. It's not something that we use with the patients. But really the question is the patient poised to use this method? And we ask them to consider these five determinants for behavioral intention that are described by the Unified Theory of Behavior. We did change some terminology to make it more understandable by the counselors as well as more memorable. The five are perceived advantages and disadvantages. So the question for the patient is, what are the good and bad things for you about using this method? The second is what other people's reaction will be. How would important people in your life feel about your method choice? The third is self-image. How does this method fit with the kind of person you are? The fourth is self-perception. How do you think you would do with using this method correctly and consistently? And the last is their emotional reactions to things. What good or bad feelings do you have about the method? And ultimately, in many cases, women are like, it's fine, no big deal, sure, fine. But for the woman who does say, you know, actually, I don't think my boyfriend would be really keen on this, or what would my boyfriend feel the string, or whatever it is, like this really opens the door for a woman to be able to raise any concerns that she has, for the counselor to then be able to address those concerns, and if those concerns cannot be addressed, and the patient starts to be like, no, this method's not for me, then they can start to look at a second method. And this really reveals many things that might not otherwise have been revealed. This practice was the least familiar to the counselors, and therefore took the most training, both in the training session that we did as well as the shadowing that we followed up with. It wasn't anything they had really, they hinted at it, but certainly not in five different ways. And we also had to say, yes, this is five separate questions. Many times the counselors felt like, well, aren't we really asking the same question? But we know that this is teasing out five different determinants that may be relevant for one patient, if not for another. The fifth best practice is to address the issue of side effects. As many of you might know, it's the number one reason why women will stop a method. If we can somehow help her know what she's about to encounter before she does, and help her prepare for any of those side effects, she will be more likely to stick with it, we would expect. And certainly our qualitative research reiterated the concerns about side effects. So in this case, the best practice is fairly straightforward. Inform the women about the side effect, let them know that they're temporary, very key, and then use those active and memorable learning strategies to elicit, well, what would you do in order to handle the spotting? How would you handle this particular side effect? The staff during qualitative research also indicated that the conversation wasn't that robust around this, and it really was a list of paper, but the same list of paper could be used. Can you look at these side effects, which would be most problematic for you, and then let's figure out some strategies for handling them. The sixth best practice is to address accurate use. As Nicole said, and I want to reiterate, 40% of the women in this country are pill users. As much as, you know, it would be great if some of them were using the implant or the IUD, many of us will continue to use the pill. Can we encourage patients to use it more accurately? In terms of, and just another statistic that folks might be very familiar with, of course, about unintended pregnancies, only 1 out of 10 is due to birth control failure. The other 9 are due to birth control errors. If we could somehow make that, reduce those number of errors, would be so strong. And so this is another one of the practices that really employs those active and memorable learning strategies. There's a series of questions to ask about each method that encourage them to figure out plans. So in this case, for the pill, one would first show them a list of the common mistakes. Ask which of these mistakes might be most likely to happen to you or has happened to you. What would you do to avoid those mistakes? What will you do every day to remember to take your pill, as well as in the counseling session, setting that reminder, maybe even coming up with a visual cue of, oh, I brush my teeth every day, I brush my hair every day, put on my glasses, whatever it is. Make those connections and make it really concrete. What's your plan for getting refills? Again, setting reminders in your calendar in this counseling session. And where would you look for information if you missed a pill? Now, there was some pushback. This will take so much time to ask all these questions and come up with these plans. Ultimately, we ask counselors, don't spend time talking about what you need to do if you missed a pill, because people don't usually miss pills for several weeks down the road, and they're not going to remember that. All they need to know is, where do I go to find the information about what to do if I miss a pill, when I miss the pill? And so this best practice really shaped that time about accurate and consistent use. The seventh best practice is to form a plan for method switching. We know that 1 in 4 women will switch their method in a year, and it's important that we prepare them for that, for those women for that eventuality. And so again, using active learning strategies, we simply ask the patient, that we instruct the counselors to ask the patient, what will you do if you want to switch the method? Now, this is key for counselors because it's the same answer every time, which is, oh, I should come into the clinic and talk and get counseling again and find a new method. But ultimately, it's that active and memorable, or the counselor really has to know, I know I'm giving the same answer, but I need to ask that question of each and every patient and make sure that she forms the plan, because it's her first time of doing it and her only opportunity to really process that information in an active way. The eighth best practice is to discuss condoms and mention dual use. We don't want to ignore the benefits of dual protection for pregnancy prevention, of course, not for STD prevention. But during the formative research, we did learn that counselors are already talking about condom use, and so we ensured that they would continue to talk about it. The ninth best practice is to ask about pregnancy plans and address ambivalence. Nicole also spoke to this a bit. Ultimately, this is when someone is unsure if they want to be pregnant or doesn't feel strongly either way. All we ask the counselors to do in this protocol is to simply identify those patients who might be ambivalent. So if they say, yeah, I do want to have get pregnant the next year, then there's one discussion. If they say no, continue with counseling as usual. But if they express any kind of ambivalence, then simply alert that patient to the possibility that that ambivalence could lead to gaps in protection and maybe reinforce some of the accurate use cases. The very last practice is to mention quick start. So, of course, these counselors are not the ones who are actually doing the quick start. And at Planned Parenthood Health Centers, whenever it's possible and for many methods, we are doing quick start. Certainly, we do that because we know that quick start leads to higher rates of method use. This really, as part of the protocol, it serves for an opportunity for the patient to nudge the clinician within the scope of the counselor's work. This is where we could do that, and so we wanted to make sure that that nudge existed. And if it's in a different setting that this counseling protocol goes, that should be a part of the protocol. So just as a reiteration of those 10 practices and to see them all together, trustworthiness, expertise, and accessibility, that cup of tea, active and memorable learning strategies, simplifying the choice process, which is the chart that I showed you, addressing lifestyle with the 5 questions that are the determinants of health behaviors, addressing the key issues of side effects, as well as a clear plan for accurate and consistent use, a plan for method switching, discussing condoms, asking about pregnancy plans, and addressing any ambivalence that arises, as well as mentioning quick start. Now, of course, 10 things. If I turn the slide off, how many of you would remember all 10 of them? Sometimes I don't remember. I'm like, what's the point? So it was key for us when working with counselors. They had other strategies. They always had the card for accessibility, the chart to show them, template to do the accurate use, but we needed pieces. And so we had 3 overarching goals that really helped them remember the 3 main things we're trying to do, which is that patients choose the most effective method for themselves, they build a plan to use their chosen method accurately and consistently, and they have a plan of action for if they want to switch methods in the future. And I'll show you those in 2 slides, but I want to talk a little bit about the training guide. Okay, in 2 minutes. So, ultimately, for any training, it's key to be able to communicate what it is you want those who are training to do, to motivate them to do it and to maintain that motivation over time, and also to facilitate them doing it, to make it really easy. The key pieces of the way that we did that is we started with the counselors were already doing. We had learned in the formative research that a lot of these pieces, a little bit was here, a little bit there, some of this, some of that. We needed to really get their buy-in and say, let's talk about all the things you're doing that are fabulous, that lead to great counseling. And we started there, and then we showed them the add-on pieces. In many cases, it was only a few more pieces that they needed to learn. We also introduced the 10 best practices within that framework of 3 primary goals to keep them really focused on those goals. A key piece is to model what counseling looks like. During the training, we actually have videotaped and have mock counseling session, and then we also model it during the training and live. And then also provide many opportunities for role play, again, during the training, as well as shadowing after the training. So a member of our team actually listened in on when we got permission from the patients on live counseling and then gave feedback. And then a last and key piece for this is during the training to help the counselors, and this will sound familiar in terms of what we do with pill users or patch users, but to help the counselors identify what will be obstacles for you in implementing these 10 best practices and what strategies will you use to make sure you overcome those obstacles, because we know whether it's habit or the rest of the clinic's doing something different, you know, how are they going to overcome those obstacles was a key piece of the training as well. So just a quick, for you, the 3 primary goals. So this is set in your mind. This protocol really enables patients to choose the most effective method for them, to build a plan to use that method correctly and consistently, accurately and consistently, and to have a plan of action if they do want to switch methods in the future. Thank you.